97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Beautiful, beautiful day in St. Louis. Unfortunately, we're down one team member, and we weren't sure if this was going to happen, but Sue had alluded to this yesterday. She had jury duty. She lives, Fred and I live in the county, right?
Right.
Well, wait a second, Fred, I got the wrong mic on. Test two.
Right.
Take two. Fred and I live in the county, and Sue may or may not be living in the county soon. I can't confirm or deny. But when you live in the city, you essentially get called for jury duty approximately every 3 weeks. And she wasn't sure what was going to happen. And the last message I heard from her is, they're taking me up to a courtroom. So I don't know what that means. Fred, did you know, is she there today and tomorrow? Usually, it's a two-day thing.
Usually, it is a two-day. But, okay. She went up for voir dire. So she's going to be, questioned whether she can be, fair.
I hope she gets on a jury, right? Well, and then what happens, and I think this happened to her last time when I was called last time. I remember I was in a pool, right? And they were getting ready. In fact, I think we were in the middle of the voir dire. I like how you say it better than I do, though. Voir dire. Like, I'm not a... How would Jane say it? She's an attorney. But then, what happens, and this happened with Sue, Fred, a lot of times, the system's not very efficient this way. They start to pick the jury, and the lawyers are working behind the scenes. Hey, you don't really want to go to this trial, right? Because you're going to be convicted. So then they cut a deal at the last minute. And then the jury's picked, like, oh, you can go home. So that happens quite a bit. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get Sue back tomorrow afternoon. Just as a quick programming note, I had to take Friday off just because I screwed something up. And I explained that yesterday. But I'm going with my daughter to do a little deer hunting. They have a special doe season this weekend. And I think Sue might be off that day as well, Fred. Do you know?
Oh. I don't know.
No, I don't know. That's what I think she told me.
So both on Friday?
You may want to take that day off, Fred. I'm just saying right now. You're sick on Friday, right? We got a bunch of things to get to here. Most of it's going to be about CBS News in a moment, but let me kind of promote the rest of it. I told you this last week. One of the first people I thought of when it came to North Carolina and the devastating damage. And by the way, we're going to spend a lot of time on Milton this afternoon as well. But I thought of Kenny Wallace because of all the friends he has out there and the time that he spent in North Carolina doing NASCAR stuff before he moved back here to St. Louis. So we're going to hook up with him here in a matter of minutes talking about some things related to North Carolina. Fred's going to handle Fred's news in the next hour. I mentioned this yesterday. I'm very much looking forward to getting an update from Alana Austin, who's a parent in Kirkwood. There was at Knifer Middle School, there was an incident earlier this year in August at, it was like the parents' night to meet the teachers. And there was a teacher at Knifer that had a Palestinian flag and not an Israeli flag. And there was a mother of a student, Alana, who said, hey, maybe you want to fly both. And he not only didn't want to do that, but he denied the Holocaust, et cetera. There's been an investigation into this. And, I think I was candid about this yesterday. I talked about this, Fred, as you know, for several days in a row in August. And then it just sort of, everyone went quiet on me. So we're going to get new information here this afternoon. Sue's going to miss this. It's her friend, Steve Jervy, who used to be here in St. Louis at Channel 30 from 1994 to 1998, and then spent a lot of time and has been in Tampa since then. He was the chief meteorologist at WFLA in Tampa. He's kind of been our go-to hurricane guy down in Florida for the past couple of years. Sue mentioned him 2 years ago, and he's been great. Well, in this particular situation, he is in the path of this hurricane, right?
Yeah, I felt kind of bad booking him for an interview because I texted him and said, hey, can you join us later today? He said, sure, as long as I've got everything ready and things are fine. And I was like, okay, kind of need a commitment, which I kind of felt bad to say.
Right.
Because he's dealing with a hurricane.
Is he evacuating?
I don't know what he's doing.
Well, we're going to find out, right? Yeah. We're going to find out. So that's coming up at 4:45 this afternoon. Our friend Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago at 5:07. And then Chris Elston. I love Chris, Billboard Chris. He's gone around the world, literally gone around the world trying to stop some of this gender-affirming care nonsense. And he spoke before the United Nations a couple of weeks ago, which I thought was really interesting. And I have not spoken with him since then, so he's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, let's get to CBS News. Fred, I took the time here today to watch the special 60 Minutes. I was watching the Chiefs last night. I had no interest in watching 60 Minutes and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. By the way, as bad as Kamala was, he was worse, Tim Walz. And if it went on any longer, I think that would have been devastating. But there is a fascinating story related to CBS News that is coming out today. And I have amazing audio that I want to share. And I have to kind of go back to the beginning because Tony DeCoppo, who is the anchor of CBS This Morning with Gayle King, and they have someone else on there.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. But anyway, DeCoppo's been at CBS for a while. I think isn't he even married to one of the other CBS folks over there?
I don't know.
I think he is, or another journalist. He's Jewish. It's important to recognize. So there's a guy by the name of Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is a liberal whack job. He's been out there writing, supposedly as a journalist, for years. And he's got a new book out called The Message, which is very much a one-sided polemic against Israel. And he describes the book as an effort to debunk the complexities that journalists invoke to obscure Israel's occupation. And he had complained. Barry Weiss in the Free Press is all over this story, and they're doing a great job with it. The coverage has also included the New York Times and some other legacy publications, and I'm going to explain why here in a second. So Coates said in an interview with New York Magazine that the argument that the conflict was complicated was horse blank, that was how defenders of slavery and segregation described these plagues a century ago. It's complicated, he said, when you want to take something from somebody. So then DeCoppel asked him about it, and he got very pointed, and that's when things kind of got interesting, because CBS News, and this is all fascinating, because when I feel like the audience is rather educated here, especially on media bias. I talk about media bias a lot. And ladies and gentlemen, when you hear the audio that I'm about to play to you from an editorial meeting that was recorded yesterday morning and somebody leaked the audio, you're going to say, wait a second, this is the same network that hosted the vice presidential debate last week that teamed up on J.D. Vance? Because they're going to try to make the case that they're unbiased at CBS News, and they take this very seriously when someone interjects their opinion, etc. So let me first play you the interview on CBS, and this is what happened last week with Coates.
Ta-Nehisi, I want to dive into the Israel-Palestine section of the book. It's the largest section of the book. Mm. And I have to say, when I read the book, I imagine if I took your name out of it, took away the awards and the acclaim, took the cover off the book, the publishing house goes away, the content of that section would not be out of place in the backpack of an extremist.
That's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty hardcore way to get into that interview, right? Now, one of the things that you have to realize here is that this is a book that doesn't include even the mention of the word Hamas. It doesn't include the word Fatah or Palestinian Islamic Jihad or Hezbollah or Iran. Not one time in this book does it mention that. Not one time. So DeCoppel's, you know, asking Coates some good questions here, considering how one-sided he is.
And so then I found myself wondering, why does Ta-Nehisi Coates, who I've known for a long time, read his work for a long time, very talented, smart guy, leave out so much? Mm. Why leave out that Israel is surrounded by countries that want to eliminate it? Why leave out that Israel deals with terror groups that want to eliminate it? Mm. Why not detail anything of the first and the second Intifada, the cafe bombings, the bus bombings, the little kids blown to bits? And is it because you just don't believe that Israel, in any condition, has a right to exist?
Yeah, Coates, So, you know, he answers the question the best way that he sees fit.
Well, I would say the perspective that you just outlined, there is no shortage of that perspective in American media. That's the first thing I would say. I am most concerned always with those who don't have a voice, with those who don't have the ability to talk. I have asked repeatedly in my interviews whether there is a single network, mainstream organization in America with a Palestinian-American bureau chief or correspondent who actually has a voice to articulate their part of the world.
Okay, so, you know, some of that is not completely off base, because I think of it in terms of some of the things that I've suggested. I've said even recently quite a bit, and I've said this for years, that, man, it'd be kind of nice if CBS News or the New York Times or another big legacy media outlet had a bureau in Missouri or in Oklahoma to better understand, you know, what's really happening in the flyover state. So I understand what Coates is saying there.
I wrote a 260-page book. It is not a treatise on the entirety of the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
But if you were to read this book, you would be left wondering, why does any of Israel exist? What a horrific place, committing horrific acts on a daily basis. So I think the question is central and key. If Israel has a right to exist, and if your answer is no, then I guess the question becomes, why do the Palestinians have a right to exist?
Answer,
why do 20 different Muslim countries have a right to exist?
My answer is that no country in this world establishes its ability to exist through rights. Countries establish their ability to exist through force. As America did. And so I think this question of right to Israel does exist. It's a fact. The question of it's right is not a question that I would be faced with any other country.
So part of, you know, one of the things maybe I should have done here is I would have loved to have just played this interview and not told you maybe that there was controversy, because in re-listening to the audio and the questions here, look, this is a pretty civil conversation. He's asking tough, pointed questions. Coates is answering that. Now, he's full of, you know what, and this is a completely ridiculous, you know, if he claims to be a journalist, journalistically flawed piece of work that he's doing, not even mentioning a good portion of, you know, the players in the conflict, just blasting Israel. So they went on here.
But you write a book that delegitimizes the pillars of Israel. It seems like an effort to topple the whole building of it. So I come back to the question, and it's what I struggled with throughout this book. What is it that so particularly offends you about the existence of a Jewish state that is a Jewish safe place and not any of the other states out there?
This next question or this next answer is very interesting, and I think it's going to jump out at you here.
There's nothing that offends me about a Jewish state. I am offended by the idea of states built on ethnocracy, no matter where they are.
Muslim.
Okay, listen, like he even says.
Muslim included.
I would not want to.
Okay, Muslim included. Are you kidding me? If that's true, then what about all these Muslim nations in the Middle East? So, you know, he's talking out of two sides of his mouth right there. All right, so that brings us to yesterday morning. And if you would have watched that interview on CBS last week, maybe you would have thought, oh, wow, there's a guy from CBS, one of the most biased news organizations out there, that actually decided to do his job. Now, in fairness, and I'm going to get to this afternoon as well, I was shocked that Bill Whitaker actually asked some tough questions last night of Kamala Harris. So we'll get to that. So maybe there's some redemption here for CBS, but not when you really think about it in the whole scheme of what's happened in history. Let me offer you an example here. If you go back a few years to 2020 with George Floyd, and I've played this audio. I don't have it right now. We can certainly easily pull it. Gail King comes on after the George Floyd situation. She knows nothing about the facts of the case. And I would argue to this day, she knows nothing about the facts of the case. And if you really want to know the facts of the case, watch the fall of Minneapolis from Liz Collin in her, you know, partners up in Minneapolis, because it is stunning. It's going to present a completely different side of that story. So Gail goes on May 26, 2020. And says, I'm speechless. I really, really speechless about what we're seeing on television this morning. It feels to me like open season. And that's sometimes, it's not a safe place to be in this country for black men. So, you know, she wants to go right into that without any of the facts whatsoever. And there's no repercussions for Gail King. But Tony DeCoppel is the focus and the complete focus of a conference call with CBS higher-ups yesterday morning. And the great thing about this, there's a couple of great things about it, is the entire damn thing got leaked. And I'm going to play it to you here. So this was Monday at 9 a.m. yesterday. Keep in mind, this is October 7th. This is the anniversary of what happened with the Palestinians in Israel in this terrible terrorist attack a year ago, right? So they start by giving a couple of, you know, oh, we know it's October 7th, it's serious, blah, blah, blah. But then Wendy McMahon is on the call, and she introduces a woman by the name of Adrienne Roark, who is in charge of news gathering at the network. Wendy McMahon is the head of CBS News, and it's kind of funny because she starts saying this when she starts the call.
Thanks, Adrienne, and good morning, everyone.
I'm sorry. Adrienne certainly hands it off to Wendy. So Wendy says this.
Thanks, Adrienne, and good morning, everyone. So Adrienne and I want to talk through a few things this morning, and I thank you in advance for keeping this meeting, this conversation today, confidential, which is, of course, always the expectation for this meeting, for every editorial meeting.
Oopsie.
And the fact is, we often use this meeting to share news with you. We want to continue to be able to do that. We want to protect and honor that trust. And I thank you.
Yeah, well, she's not going to thank them because now the New York Times and other outlets have done a story on this because someone leaked the call. So they go on here, and this is Adrienne, who says, look, we have a strong legacy here, and the policy is check your bias at the door.
I want to take the time to remind us all of something. When we step into a newsroom and we pick up a microphone or a camera and we sit down for an interview, produce a story, report from a scene, or anchor a show, we need to remember that we are journalists. And as hard as this is, that means we set our personal feelings and beliefs aside. Our job is to serve our audiences without bias or perceived bias. to provide objective news that they, that we know and they know they can trust.
Isn't that great?
See, that's so perfect because Kenny's coming up. But, I mean, come on. Think about that. So there's a little history lesson of CBS News that they invoke as well.
You know, the legacy of CBS News is built on a foundation of neutrality. And we owe it to those who came before us, to ourselves and our viewers, to maintain that standard to the best of our ability.
So they go through the call, and then they finally get to the point where they want to out Tony DeCoppola, and they want to talk about this.
I want to acknowledge there are a lot of times that we do this really, and then there are times we don't. And there are times we fail our audiences, and we fail each other. We're in one of those times right now, and it's been growing. And now we are at a tipping point. Many of you have reached out to express concerns over recent reporting, specifically about the CBS Morning's Coates interview from last week, as well as comments made coming out of some of our correspondents' reporting. I want to thank every single one who reached out for your honesty, your transparency, and your commitment. So I want to address three things. Number one, after a review of our coverage, including the interview, it's clear there are times we have not met our editorial standards.
There was nothing at all wrong with that interview whatsoever. Actually, it was a pretty good spirited back and forth. I mean, Coates is full of crap, but there was nothing wrong with that interview. But you have these little snowflakes that are working at CBS News, and they complained about this. Now, ordinarily, maybe you just let this go and nobody says anything. Fred, you and I are on call sometimes, and I try to keep my mouth shut because I only get myself into trouble. But Jan Crawford is, and we worked with CBS, and you still do at CBS right. News. Jan Crawford is the chief legal correspondent and has been since 2009. And she comes in and smacks up her management upside the head.
So I guess it sounds like we're calling out one of our anchors in a somewhat public setting on this call for failing to meet editorial standards, or I'm not even sure what. Like, I don't understand how Tony's interview or any of his comments that he's made with anchors fail to, you know, meet our editorial standards that obviously go back to the days of Murrow and you know, Cronkite, which of course, I thought our commitment was to truth. And when someone comes on our air with a one-sided account of a very complex situation.
Yeah, in other words, he was actually doing what a journalist should do, not what a journalist should not do.
As Coates himself acknowledges that he has, it's my understanding that as journalists, we are obligated to challenge that worldview so that our viewers can have that access to the truth or a fuller account, a more balanced account. And to me, that is what Tony did. He challenged Coates' worldview, his one-sided worldview. Coates got to respond. It was civil. I mean, I'd have to look this up. I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly, but I read the Washington Post, and they said it was calm and, heartfelt. I think those are the words they used.
They did say that. They thought it was a, you know, pretty civil discourse. It wasn't that big of a deal. So she closed this way.
When we broadcast false information or we don't adequately verify something, which we have done in the past, and we've acknowledged that. But here, I think Tony did the opposite. He prevented a one-sided account from being broadcast on our network about a deeply complex, as you said, situation that, completely was devoid of history or fact.
So this is unbelievable. And, you know, for CBS and these two upper management news folks, supposedly journalists, to lecture Tony DeCoppola and to go on this phone call with a bunch of other snowflakes and say, we're going to really, you know, make sure that we're checking our bias. Are you kidding me? What did they say about Margaret Brennan and Nora O'Donnell, right? What did they say about Bill Whitaker coming in here to St. Louis? Now, he did something last night that was rather remarkable. He asked tough questions, but he's the same guy that for 60 Minutes, and what was the other idiot? Jeff Pegues, Fred, right?
Right.
Jeff Pegues came in here. They both came in and did a story completely devoid of facts and tried to paint St. Louis as white supremacists on the Kim Gardner story. They didn't dig in. I even told Jeff Pegues, Don't talk to me as a conservative. I'll give you Democrats who can't stand her and say that she's not doing her job. But they don't want the truth. They do not want the truth. And I don't think Tony DeCoppo is free of all this stuff either. But in this particular situation, he decided to ask some tough questions because he's Jewish. And I'm fine with that because I think at the end, by the way, there was a little, you know, light moment with Tony and Ta'Nehisi Coates. And I think they both survived it. That was actual good journalism. And they get outed for it and scolded at CBS News. That is embarrassing.
Get more at 971talk.com.